Okay, I have a special treat for you today. I want to introduce to you a long-term friend who is the result of a spiritual legacy. His grandfather was on the verge of, was a Hindu man on the verge of suicide and put out a fleece for the Lord, and the Lord revealed himself to him and started a ministry in southern India some years ago that currently has expanded to over 400 churches. So Pastor Ebenezer George is now kind of in an apostolic role of overseeing 400 churches and a children's home that houses 147 children. Many pastors, hundreds of pastors, have gone out into villages and left the bigger cities and left their children without education. The children's home is that education for their children. Plus, there are many orphans. Remember, God said he will draw the lonely into families, and he is very much interested in widows and orphans. So this particular ministry of the Full Gospel Church in India fits the profile of our global mission strategy to reach unreached people groups, to plant churches, and minister to children. That's what this man is doing and has been doing for some decades now. So in a very near future, our very own Jeremy and Julie Hughes, where are they? Would you stand up? They will be going to the children's home for about 3 months to bring that to a higher level of efficiency, minister to the children. Julie will be teaching dance classes in the local community. And we'll talk more about that later as we send them out over there for a short missions trip. But without further ado, I want to introduce a very special man I know you're going to enjoy, a longtime friend of mine, a fellow servant in the Lord. We've done many crusades together and ministered to thousands and thousands of people. So let's give a warm mountain welcome to Pastor Ebenezer George as he comes to minister to us this morning.
Thank you very much, Pastor, for your kind words and for this warm welcome. And thank you, Church, for having me here this morning to share the Word of God and also bring a testimony of what the Lord has been doing in India and also around the world. Pastor Gary and I have been good friends for several years. When my first daughter was born, he came all the way to the hospital in Atlanta. And he prayed for her. He was the first man of God to come and pray over our first daughter. She is now 13 years old. So this says that we have been long-term friends. So the Lord has blessed us, his wife, his children. They are very dear to us. And I thank the Lord for this wonderful, cordial relationship that he has built over a period of years. That today I'm here to testify what the Lord has been doing. And whenever Pastor Gary Huens visits India, he doesn't come alone. He comes with people with him. The first trip, I remember when he came, he brought a person by name Fred Osborne. And he was a businessman. And when he came with Pastor Gary Huens, he started to minister in India. And then he fell in love with India. And he stayed in India. And he became a missionary in India. Till this date, he's living in India. And the next trip he came, he brought Brother Paul Clayton. He was another businessman. And Brother Paul Clayton, the Lord blessed him to be a blessing to the missions in India. But when he came with Pastor Gary Huens, he changed his mind that he's going to quit business and become a missionary. And he started to go and study on missions. And today, he's into full-time ministry. And this trip, Pastor brought his dear friends and his son, Brother Kyle, Brother, we call him Jeremiah, but you all call him Jeremy. And we brought him, Joel, and again turning out to become missionaries, missions-minded. I tell you, that is the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord for Pastor Gary Huens. Can we appreciate our dear pastor for what that he is doing? When you are with an anointed man of God, we are really blessed. And we see the purpose of God in our life. And I thank the Lord for the anointing in our dear pastor. And we have done several crusades. The recent one which we did, we had several thousands of people come and join the crusade ground. The first day we had over 4,000 people. Then it went to 5,000 over people. The final day we had about 7,000 people. And when our pastor ministered, we saw signs, wonders, and miracles. Many came flooding to the ground, to the front, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And today, the church is expecting to have over 3,000 new souls as harvest because of the ministry of our dear pastor the last few months ago. And I thank the Lord for this great harvest. And one thing about harvest is never clean. Harvest is always dirty. When you try to get a harvest of potatoes, you just can't get that potatoes and put it in the kitchen and cook it and eat it. You've got to clean it up. So the harvest is not clean. So we have the church to clean up the harvest. And I thank the Lord for the CBC, which is cleaning up the harvest through various ministries around the world. And thank you for accepting us as one of your partners to clean up the harvest in India and reaching several Indians for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the Lord. This evening I have a word of God that the Lord has put in my heart from Psalm 23. But before that, I want to just get into some statistics of how we can reach the lost. A story is told of a young man, Michael Brady. I don't know how many of you have heard of Michael Brady. He was a stuntman for the Universal Studios. Michael Brady's specialty was diving from an helicopter to jump onto a moving train. On one occasion, he climbed up a stairway to a train to check out what he was going to be doing. While he was doing that, he slipped and fell, and he died instantly. Michael Brady was an organ donor. There came a time that his organs were donated to various people, and one man by the name Bill Wall. He was 57 years of age, waiting for a heart transplant. He was with a bad heart for 159 days in the hospital, living with an artificial heart and waiting for an heart transplant. And Michael Brady's young heart, Michael Brady died at the age of 37. This young heart was given to this man, Bill, who started to live well after this transplant. He decided that he will exercise well and he will eat well and he will honor this young man who was an athlete by doing the right things that he was doing. And he also started to run marathon and he really developed very well. There came a time that he wanted to meet the family of this man, Michael Brady, whose heart was given to him. And they made the arrangement for him to meet the family of Michael Brady. The family arrived, particular place. His wife, who was a widow, and the children, the father, the mother, everyone arrived, and the father of Michael Brady, in his hands, he had a stethoscope. He comes to this man, Bill, and he told him this: I brought my son in a very disciplined manner that he became a football player and then an athlete, and he won many awards. But a tragic death occurred in his life, and he's no more in this world. But his heart is being carried by you. If you permit me, let me hold the stethoscope onto your heart, onto your chest, and hear the heartbeat of my son one more time. I tell you, I brought this story up this morning. Our Heavenly Father from heaven sent his only begotten Son to this world to die for us who were in sin. And today, he has saved us, and we are his children. And if the Father in heaven, if he has a stethoscope, and if he says, I want to reach to my church in this world, and put the stethoscope on the heart of my church, is he going to hear the heartbeat of his Son, Jesus Christ, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? Is he going to hear the heartbeat of his Son, Jesus Christ, take care of the poor and the needy? Is he going to hear the heartbeat of his Son, Jesus Christ, go and reach the lost at any cost? What is the heartbeat that we carry today, church? I thank the Lord for CBC, for you have people who are carrying the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the missions. The heartbeat of Jesus is missions. He is full of missions. He had a vision to come to this world because he had a mission to reach the lost. And he says that we got to reach the lost. That is the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we partner in missions, we are with that heartbeat, and the Father is pleased and he says, well done, my faithful ones. And I thank the Lord for this wonderful ministry here at CBC, that you are the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Pastor was ministering here, Pastor mentioned one phrase, let's be biblical. I tell you, you are biblical. Let's be biblical in our praise, in our worship, in our songs, in our music, in everything that we do. Let's be biblical. Recently, I was in Ghana. I was invited to preach in a pastor's seminar. And it was a large pastor's seminar, and people from various communities were there. And I prepared to preach on the last days, the time and season and the age that we live in, to encourage people that we can get into the harvest of the last days. But I went there, the host pastor, he came to me during the meeting and he said, "Pastor, you got to speak on the Holy Spirit. Can you please help us understand the doctrine of the Holy Spirit? And you got to help us understand the language of tongues." I said, "That was not my subject. I was supposed to be speaking on the last days, and here you're changing my subject. If the Holy Spirit changes, it's okay, but you're changing it. I really don't know what to do. I speak in tongues, but I don't know how to explain that." But he insisted. The next day was my turn to come and preach. So I go up, and I just depended on the Holy Spirit because I had no books, had no reference, had no way of preparing myself on this new topic that I have to come and teach. And it was like over 300 pastors in that conference. I said, "Lord, you got to help me. Holy Spirit, you got to help me." I got biblical that day. Actually, when we are biblical, we can see the hand of God move in our life. So I went there, and I started to preach. I started to teach on the Holy Spirit. It was easy to teach on the Holy Spirit, that he came and filled his people when they were in one accord, in one place. They were together with one mindset. The Holy Spirit came and filled them. Then I had to go on speaking in tongues. I said, "I don't know how to do that now. I can speak in tongues. I don't know if you will understand that." The Lord really gave me an insight. I tell you, some of us are confused on this area of speaking in tongues. I tell you, in the initial days, when it was just one language, people rebelled against God, and they started to build this tower called the Tower of Babel. If you all know that story, the Tower of Babel, that's how we pronounce it in India. I don't know how you do it here. And when they were building it, the Lord allowed them to build it, but he didn't allow them to have the dedication. They almost completed the project. Everything was fine towards the end of the project. The Lord from heaven saw that it was not right for man to do this. He came from heaven, and what did he do? He just disturbed their language. They started to speak in different languages, and there was confusion. The purpose of tongues was confusion in the book of Genesis. When that confusion occurred, what do you imagine? Satan would have just been so happy. He would have been saying, "God, what I was going to do, you did it. You're on my side." And he didn't know his days were coming soon. And Satan probably was so happy that there was confusion among people, and several people groups started from there. And today, today the world is full of people everywhere. We are about 7 billion people around the world today. So 7 billion people speaking several different languages. It is estimated that there are 6,974 people group around the world. That is the result of that confusion of speaking in tongues. And then comes the New Testament period. I tell you, Satan was very happy because of this confusion that we cannot understand one another. So there was a rejoicing probably in the dark world. But there came a time Jesus Christ came from heaven, and then when he went back to heaven, he told his disciples, "You got to wait in one accord, in one place together, that I will go to the Father, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. When he comes, you're going to be filled with power, and then you go and be my witnesses. But when he comes, and when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to speak in tongues, you're going to see signs and wonders and miracles." And that's what happened in the upper room that day. I tell you, when that happened, imagine what? Satan started to be confused, because when the disciples started to speak in tongues, when we speak in tongues, we speak secret to God. And when we speak secret to God, what Satan thought was good in Genesis, he says, "I am confused. I cannot understand what this group of people are speaking. We speak how we are going to reach the millions. We speak how we are going to take the gospel to the unreached people group. We speak how we are going to reach the nations for the gospel." And when the church starts speaking in tongues, Satan is confused. He doesn't know what to do. And he just shuts up and sits down. And we are more than conquerors. That's why we speak in tongues. Let's give glory to the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Why? Because he wants to confuse Satan more than us confusing him. So today we are a group of people who want to confuse Satan because we have a mission to take this gospel to the people who are dying in this world. In India alone, there are 1.1 billion people. In this world, there are 7 billion people. In India alone, there are 1.1 billion people. Out of the 1.1 billion people, 80% are Hindus. Hindus believe all is God and God is all. They believe everything. They believe in reincarnation. That means there is rebirth. You come back in a different form if you are not going to tolerate the situation that you are living in today. That's why Indian Hindus are very tolerant people. They accept everything. They are polytheistic in their faith. And as I told you, the world is divided into people group, English-speaking group, Spanish-speaking group, French-speaking group, and Tamil-speaking group, and various people group. We just know few, but you do the survey, it results us to have 6,974 people group in the world. So hard to understand all the languages. And out of the 6,974 people group, over 2,600 people groups fall under the unreached people group, which means they have not heard the gospel. That is 2.9 billion people come under the unreached people group category. They have not heard the gospel. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And India has the largest people group, 2,258 groups. Among the unreached people group fall under the Indian subcontinent. So India alone has over 2,200 unreached people group. And out of these 2,200 over unreached people group living in India, 2,027 people groups fall under the least evangelized or unengaged unreached people group in our nation. Which means there are over 458,000 villages in India with no known Christian presence. There is no Christian presence at all. That brings us to this number. 350 million over people have not heard the gospel even once in their life in India. That's where you're sending your pastor to come to India. So we target the villages that has not heard the gospel. We send buses, we send vehicles to fetch them from the places that they cannot hear the gospel. Bring them to one ground. And when pastor preaches the gospel, I tell you, they accept it so rejoicingly. They accept it so hopefully because this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ gives hope for the dying soul. And when pastor preaches, people come to the knowledge and they say, I need this Jesus, and they come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today the harvest is so plentiful, and when you're praying here, thank God that you're praying for the harvest. That is the request, prayer request. If Jesus had a prayer request, this was his prayer request. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth harvesters. I tell you, Jesus had a prayer request, and he's requesting us to pray, and he's telling, pray forth that the Lord of the harvest will send forth harvesters to send forth workers in the field because the harvest is plentiful. Today, the harvest is plentiful all around the world. People are accepting Jesus Christ. When a church is praying and when a church is sending missionaries, when the church is partnering with other groups that is working in missions area, I tell you, you will definitely get back good results saying people are getting changed. Jesus did not come. Yesterday I was doing a program for the television ministry here, and one of the questions was, what is the difference between Jesus and other gods? I tell you, the other gurus in this world, they came to make bad people good people. Jesus did not come to this world to make bad people good people. He came to this world to give life and life eternal, so that dying people will become living people. Whether you are good or bad, you still die. But when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you can live in Christ Jesus, and he will give us eternal life. That's the purpose of Jesus coming to this world. Yes, give him a clap offering. He is to be praised and glorified. Church, we are not going around to make bad people good people. There are enough people in this world, enough societies in this world to make bad people good people. There are schools in this world to make bad people good people. But we go to change the lifestyle of people so that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And even if they die, they will have life and have it abundantly, because in Christ we have eternal life. That is the message that we take to the nations in Jesus' name. And when we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. No things in heaven or on earth or under the earth can come against the missions of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, upon this church I will build my kingdom and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When we go with this gospel, I tell you, with this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to be more than conquerors. We are going to achieve great things. We are going to see churches built up. We are going to see villages coming to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are going to see the kingdom growth everywhere, because we are in the last days and we are one. We are not different. We are not a different group of people worshiping a different God from different way. We are all one in Jesus. In John chapter 17, this is what he told his disciples: as the Father and I are one, he says, you got to be one. When the singers were singing, there were four people singing and a brother was leading. I tell you, when they were singing, one was singing soprano, one was singing alto, one was singing bass, and one was singing tenor. I tell you, but they were all singing just one song. That's how the church is today. In Cassius, you may be singing soprano. In Atlanta, Mount Paran, may be singing alto. And in India, we are singing tenor. We are all together singing the same song that the Lord has given to the church, that we are lifting the name of Jesus on high. And that is why we are one. When we realize that we are one, we can accomplish great things. Praise be to the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is to be glorified. I am not an Asian church. I am not an Indian church. You are not a Cassius church or a white church or a black church or a Spanish church. We are one church belonging under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ to take this gospel to the nations, because that is the mission of the church, and we are one. And when we are one, we can accomplish great things in Jesus' name. And we are the people in the last days to take this gospel to the dying in the world. This is just my introduction. When Pastor was in India, he ended the service at 10 o'clock in the night. A preacher was invited to a church to come and preach in one of the remote villages in India. And this preacher went and he started to preach. He preached, he preached, he preached, he kept preaching. He never watched the time. One of the youngsters who was really probably bored up with the preaching, he got up. He was bold enough to get up and he said, excuse me, preacher, we understand we are a poor church. We don't have a clock, but look on the other side, we do have a calendar. God is good. And I thank you, church, for partnering with us. Today, the Lord has helped us to take this gospel. And you have been a great part in helping us in the television ministry. Television is one of the major mediums to take the gospel to the unreached people group. There are so many Christian televisions. We've got to understand, when we go as a Christian television, the government in India, the government in Middle East, they don't allow it. Those channels are blocked totally. We cannot take the gospel through Christian medium to certain places. TBN is in India, and God Channel is in India, Word Channel is in India, but they're only in known places like the cities. But when you go to interior places, it's shut down because the government is against Christian publications and Christian televisions. But today, the Lord has helped us to get on a secular channel, one major channel. And church, you have been a great part in helping us procuring some equipment to equip ourselves with the television ministry, that we can take this gospel. Because of your help, the Lord has opened a door for us. I want to just tell you very briefly. I don't know if I'm going to get into Psalm 23. That's okay. We all know it. But let me tell you this testimony, that we can understand how the Lord is working, how you have been a part in our ministry. You all helped us with television broadcast equipment. We put everything together and I started to pray, Lord, now open a door that we will go on air, because TBN promised us when Brother Paul Crouch was there. He said he's going to give us a channel, he's going to give us a slot in Asian TBN that we can go on air, and I was expecting and preparing everything for that. Then there was a news that he passed. When he passed, we lost all the contact, we couldn't do anything. I said, Lord, now you got to open up a door for us. And it was like 1.5 years back, I started to pray. And I started to seek this Raj Television. That is one of the major network in India. They operate from Chennai, from Madras. And they go to all over Asia and the Middle East and the entire eastern part. That's how big their footprint is. They're on Thaicom 3 satellite, and they have also backhauled to the Galaxy satellite that you can also download and watch the programs from India that is on Raj TV. That's how powerful. And to an Indian, you go north, south, east, west, and tell them Raj TV, do you know it? They all know it because it's so popular. And I wanted to reach this person who's the director of this Raj Television. Whenever I try to call, they always put me with a manager or some sales rep who's selling slots, and they always quoted me high prices. The prices that they would quote was $1,200 for 1.5 hour program. And that was way high. And if you have to do 4 programs or 5 programs a month, right there, it's about $6,000, which brings us to like about $72,000 a year, which was like too much for us to take it. And I said, I want to talk to the chief man, the president, or whoever is the top, because we have been in this channel in the year 2001, and I have been with them for a lower price in those days. Then after my father's death, we cut off and we pulled ourselves out of television. And now I'm telling them, I am not a new person coming in. I'm your old client, and I need to talk to the chief man. But they wouldn't let me do that at all. But there came a time last year in the month of August, the Lord opened a door for me to participate in one of the great functions of the governor. It was by invitation. I was able to go to this governor's bungalow, and I was there. I met with many business people, and I also met with many chief officials of the Indian government. And I was able to talk to them, and finally we were served dinner, so it was free seating. I sat in one table, and we had several officials sitting there. And I tell you, see how the Lord is leading. And when I was sitting there, and we were exchanging cards, and we were talking about the things that we were doing, the person sitting next to me, he gave his card and he introduced himself, saying that he's Mr. Ravindran, he is the owner of Raj Television. I tell you. Isn't that good? You see how the Lord is working? And I told him, I'm trying to reach you through your people. And it was so hard for me to reach him through the secretaries. It always went to that last point, and then they'll decline me, put me on hold for a long time and never let me speak to him. Here he is sitting next to me. And because that place was such an important place, he took my card as one of the most important cards, and he kept it with himself. And after a year, I'm getting a call from his brother. And his brother calls me and he said, my brother, Mr. Ravindran, met you in the governor's bungalow and he gave me your number. And now we are getting ready to start a new branch of Raj Television in your state, which is going to take off from your state. And it's going to go to all the world. And if you're interested, I would like to offer the first Christian slot to you. I said, yes, we will talk. And we went and talked. I know I don't have $1,200 to give them. Even if I have, I don't want to give it. I had a cousin, he'll always say, why pay less when you can pay more? My way is different. Why pay more when you can pay less? So when I went there, I met him, I spoke to him, we became very good friends. I tell you, God in his sovereignty plans certain things wonderfully. And this man was telling, see, you know very well, this channel reaches so many thousands in the major net. This is one of the major networks. And since we have branched out and starting one from your state, we decided that you should be the first one to be on air on our channel, and we will help you whatever way is possible. And I was thinking, the only way that you could help me is getting the cost low. And I was praying, and then we started to talk and negotiate, and he started to give us a 50% discount, but I was not satisfied. I said, okay, I will take it. I never said no to him. I said, we'll take it, whatever it is, because I know it is the Lord who has led me. It is the Lord who brought that man. It is the Lord who is bringing me now. And I know if God is bringing it, he will provide. He is our provider. That's where I want to bring it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, it is relationship. And when you say I shall not want, it is providence. When you have the Lord as our shepherd, I tell you, wherever he leads, he will provide. Whatever his plan, when we fall into his plan, you will fulfill his plan. It's going to happen. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. If God is giving a big plan for you, don't be afraid. I know Pastor, he is not a man of small plans. He's a man of big plans, giant plans. That's why he's so tall. He's bold to come to India. He's bold to speak the gospel. He never gave polished gospel. He gave the full, real, truth gospel. And that's why we have so many people saved today. All of our churches together, we are expecting over 3,000 new people to join our churches all over our branch ministries on the account of this crusade that our pastor brought to India. And you, church, you're a great part because you sent him. He came. And because of that obedience, today we have a great work going on in India. To complete the story of this television ministry, this man started to tell me his story and I started to tell him my story. Nothing to do with television. He asked me how many children you have. I said, I have 5 children. He said, wow, I have 5 children too. And he asked me how many girls and how many boys. I said, 3 girls and 2 boys. He said, wow, we are brothers. I have 3 children, 3 girls and 2 boys. We are one. I said, yes. I tell you, we started to bring that relationship. And now you know what? Days came that we have to start the television program. And I told him, sir, one of the main reasons that we are a little bit procrastinating and not giving you the program is that we are really afraid of the cost that you have given. Then he asked me, tell me, brother, what you want. He started to call me brother from then. And he asked me, what do you want to do? I said, see, our cost, we will be able to pay you $300 a week. If that is okay, you can take our program. If not, we'll wait. We'll wait till we are able to raise $600. As a matter of fact, I didn't raise even $300, and I'm talking here. Actually, we have to launch out in faith. My father used to say, fear nothing, but be very cautious. He'll say, don't say it's faith and jump from a tower. That's not faith, that's stupidity. He says, faith is always different. You got to always walk in faith, not by sight. I was always confused. What is this he's saying? He's telling you must have faith. He's saying you must not have faith. And if you try to exercise faith, he says, that's stupidity. What's all this? He said, you got to be very wise. He said, you got to be wise as Jesus. He didn't convert the stones to become his food that day when he was tempted because he wanted to teach us that's not faith. So when we need to walk in faith, we got to walk in faith. And here I started to exercise faith. I said, Lord, I know you opened this door. And if he's going to accept for $300, I believe that you have truly opened it up, that you will open a ways to provide for this need. And I told him $300. And he said, for you, I will do it. Take it. And he said, don't worry about the money. Just give us your program because we want your program to be as the first Christian program. There are so many other Christians who are coming after us, but we have not accepted anyone. We want your program because you are our original client. You were with us when we were growing and we saw your program those days and we have identified that you are one with us from the past years. So we want you to partner with us and to have you as our client will be one of the best things that we could have and we'll be blessed and you'll be blessed. And he said, we will accept your program. We started to give program. Yesterday was the second program that was on broadcast. Praise be to the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Sometimes back in a Sunday school, the teacher walks inside the Sunday school and the Sunday school, it was the children's Sunday school and all the children were from the age group of 3 to 6 or 7 years. The teacher goes there and she's asking, is there anyone among my students who can recite Psalm 23? And many put their hands up among them. One 4-year-old girl, she put her hand up also saying, I can recite Psalm 23. And the teacher goes to her and said, are you sure you can recite? She said, yes, of course. So come up forward. And they brought this child to the podium, and she comes to the podium. She stands there, and now the teacher said, it's your turn to recite Psalm 23. She bowed down gracefully, and she said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. And she bowed down, and she went back. I tell you how good it is. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. And church, if the Lord is our shepherd, that's all we want today. In Psalm 23, this is a psalm that David wrote 3,000 years back. And when he wrote, he was a king. He was a shepherd who became a king. He knows what it is to be a shepherd. And then he was a king, and he called himself a shepherd king. And he always kept the Lord as his shepherd, no matter how big he became, no matter how tall, how glorious and how majestic his kingdom was. No matter how many times he sat on the throne, he always said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Psalm 23 is more a psalm that is talking big about his shepherd. And then he says, I shall not want, that's supply. We'll just go through this psalm. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, that's rest. When you have the Lord as your shepherd, there is rest in our life. He leadeth me beside the still waters, that's refreshment. He restoreth my soul, there's healing when we have the Lord as your shepherd. He leadeth me beside in the path of righteousness, that's guidance. The Lord is there to guide us all the time in our life. And then it says, for his namesake, that's purpose. The Lord has a purpose in our life. And then comes a time of testing. Hey, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, that's testing moments in our life, I will fear no evil because I've experienced the Lord as my shepherd, no matter how big the test is. We got to understand our God, one of the names given to our God, to our Lord Jesus Christ, is good teacher. He's called a good teacher. And when a good teacher, when he gives test, a good teacher will not go and explain you the answer. A good teacher will be silent during the test period. So we are his students. Sometimes we may be going through some test in our life. The good teacher, he knows it all. Sometimes we start cursing, Lord, you know everything you say. We know, we understand you are the Alpha and you are the Omega. Don't you know, not know the problems I'm going through? I tell you, he's a good teacher. He keeps quiet during our test period because he wants to help us. We may be going through some struggles in our life, but he's the good teacher. Through those situations, we got to understand, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, my test period, I will fear no evil because as a good teacher, he's around us. He knows everything. He's testing us so that we will be promoted to the next level in our life. We will be promoted to the next level in our career, the next level in our ministry, the next level in all our experiences. He wants us to move on. He doesn't want us to be like little children always drinking milk. He wants us to have some solid food. That's why he gives us tests that we'll be promoted. And when we endure that test, when we pass that test, the answer, are you faithful in the test? All that you've got to do is just be faithful in the test that the Lord is giving you, that you will not talk anything bad against him. You will not murmur. You will always know, for I know the plans that the Lord has for me. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, though I am going through the test moments, it doesn't matter, for the plans that the Lord has for me is for good and for my prosperity. I will wait on you, Lord. And in this test, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. When we come to that attitude, I tell you, the Lord will hold your hand and he will hold you by your right hand and he will walk with you and he will say, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then we will come up with a statement saying, as Moses said in Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord, he himself shall go before you and shall be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That will be the encouraging words that will ring in our ears, and we will keep marching forward and not complain because we believe in the sovereignty of God, that he knows all and he sees all and he's omnipotent. omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he is always with us, and he will never leave us. Even before we speak, he knows what we think. Even before we think, he knows what we are going to think. That is the God we serve. And he says, even if a hair falls from your head, he knows it. He has numbered the very hair that we are having, and he says, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when I am your shepherd, I will take care of you. That is the answer. Praise be to the Lord. Yeah, we need to give the Lord a clap offering. And that he does it for his name's sake. And he is with us. That is his faithfulness. And then the verse says, Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's discipline. He disciplines the one whom he loves. So when we are going through a disciplining situation, he always does it through his word. His word is a lamp unto our path and a light unto our feet. And he does it through the church. He does it through the pastor, through the shepherd of the local body. And when that discipline comes, we got to understand that the Lord is disciplining us because he has a rod and a staff. And then the scripture says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's hope. The presence of our enemies, the Lord is preparing a table for us. And when you continue, it says, thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. He's going to anoint our head with oil. And when we come under that anointing, you see what's going to happen. It is then my cup runneth over. It's abundance. Our cup runs over after the anointing. When the anointing comes upon you, the disciples had to wait on the anointing in the upper room. They had to come together in one accord, in one place, and wait on the Lord. And when that anointing came upon them, their cup starts running over. All their needs are being met. The Lord in heaven is able to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory, and our cup runneth over. That means we will be a blessing in our home. When we go out, we'll be a blessing. When we come in, we'll be a blessing. Our situation will change and turn around. People will call us blessed. In our career, we'll be a blessing. In our neighborhood will be a blessing. Our cup runs over. God is calling us to come to that anointing, that the church's cup will run over, that you will be a blessing to the nations. You'll be a blessing to the unreached people group world. You'll be a blessing all over the world, because God has a purpose in anointing you, that you will be a blessing, that your cup will run over. And you will be a blessing all over the world, because we inherit the blessings of Jacob. The blessings of Jacob is a blessing to take and give to the nations, because one of the sons of Jacob is Joseph, who blessed the nation. That is the anointing God wants to bring back into his church in these last days, that we will have that anointing of Joseph, that we people will come to us. We will not turn them down, that we will say, here, take it and go, because our cup runs over in Jesus' name. And then it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's security and eternity. So the Lord has assured us a blessing in Psalm 23. Due to time constraint, I'm not going to go in detail of everything, but here we are to understand. Just like that little child, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. When we have the Lord as our shepherd, we are going to reach the lost. The Lord Jesus, in his parable, he says, a good shepherd, he leaves the 99 sheep that is in his pasture and goes behind the one who's lost. That should be the heart of man, of the church. What does it mean? If we were shepherds, we would understand that. There's an English term called cast. A sheep sometimes sits back and the flock keeps walking. And when the sheep that sits back, who's weak, after a while he tries to get up, but he falls and he turns on his back. And once he turns on his back, he cannot come back on his feet again. He's struggling there. And if the shepherd doesn't go and get him on time, he may die because he's on cast. Some of us may be on cast today. The Lord Jesus is our good shepherd. He's coming in search of us to help that sheep that is in cast. And he is going to take him, rub him, and pour his oil. I tell you, there are a few things that will not allow a sheep to rest. But the Lord says he will make us rest in green pasture. But if the sheep is in fear, he cannot rest. If a sheep is having tension among one another in the pasture, in the flock, he cannot rest. When the sheep is hungry, he cannot rest. When the sheep is disturbed by the flies around him, he cannot rest. That's when the shepherd, he takes the oil. Because there are too many flies attacking the sheep, he takes the oil and he mixes with some spices and he anoints the sheep with oil that the flies that comes around will not come. That's when your enemy will come in one direction and he will flee in seven directions, because he anoints me with oil. And when that anointing is over us, no weapon that forms against you shall prosper. The flies may come, but he cannot touch you, because the sheep is anointed. We are the sheep of his pasture, and when he is our shepherd, we fear nothing. Because he will carry us through. Church, thank you very much for this opportunity given to me. May the Lord bless you. As we partner together in ministry, I tell you, the Lord is going to take us to a next realm, that we are going to see many signs and wonders and miracles. And we are going to see the kingdom going around the world. Thank you very much. May the Lord bless you.